all of our kiddos and helpers this morning. And let's take our Bibles and turn over to Romans once again. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, and we're going to be looking at verse 18 in particular this morning. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 18. And the title this morning, if you're taking notes, is Humanity is Guilty. Humanity is guilty. And you say, that sounds like an encouraging passage of Scripture. Well, over the next couple of weeks, we'll be looking at a passage that deals with a great need. And it's a need that all of humanity has, a sin problem. And so this morning, look at Romans chapter 1 and verse number 18 as our text. The Bible says in Romans 1, verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." And look at verse 19. "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them." This morning we're looking at this matter of a problem in humanity, a problem called sin. Back in the summer of 2019, right after we had moved here from Tennessee, many of you would remember that we received some very bad news. My mom received a diagnosis that she was in very bad health. I know many of you would remember that Sunday morning. We weren't even here. We had gone up, and she had had some issues and very strange things, and the surgeon finally checked to see what was going on and called us into that room. And it's never a pleasant thing to be called into a room with a surgeon, and my brothers and sisters, my dad was there, and Dr. Chu, I remember him sitting across from us and telling us that my mom had a very large tumor, and that tumor had blocked her colon and was too deeply involved to be removed, and that we should expect the worst, that this was a very grim picture, and that her survival even was not something that was expected. That was a hard day, and a very difficult day. And no one likes to hear the words and feel helplessness, that there's nothing I can do about this, there's nothing I can change. And humanity in this passage is brought with a very stark reality. A problem is brought to the forefront, a problem that has been diagnosed, if you want to say, a problem that has been revealed by God. I remember it wasn't until the doctor looked in to see what was going on that he could see what the problem was with my mother and then to tell us, this is what's going on. Well, it's like that with God in this passage. We have the revelation, the pulling back of what really is going on with humanity. And the reality is, no matter how good humanity thinks they are, there is a serious problem. And it's a serious problem, as we'll see, not just for the pagan world, which is what this initially deals with, but even later, it's a problem with the Jewish people as well. Those people that have the law of God, God's special people, they have a problem too. Everyone has this problem called sin. And everyone comes short. And everyone is in need of help. And I remember that feeling of great helplessness for my mom. That is exactly the kind of helplessness Paul wants to encourage the church in Rome to see once again, as those that are Christians, to see and remember their helplessness, but also so that they can help others. There is no way for them to help others with the truth of the gospel that verse 16 and 17 speaks of. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." That is great news, isn't it? That the gospel is available, as we saw last time, to anyone, and that it is accessible by faith, and that it reveals the righteousness that comes by Christ, not of ourselves. But why do I need this help? Why do I need this salvation? Well, these passages that we're going to look at help us see what our condition is. And I know that it's not popular at times to point out how bad humanity is. In fact, nobody likes to hear, "You're a sinner." In fact, no one likes to hear, "You have a problem." But as it was with my mom, apart from hearing that there was a condition that was causing her problems, there was not any way for her to take steps that would remedy that. And as I'll tell you in a few moments, there was a remedy for which we thank God. And there is a remedy that is far superior to something taking away cancer in someone's body. It is that Jesus Christ has died for humanity's sin. And that Jesus Christ can alone save us. In the pagan world and in the religious Jew, there is a condemnation to death, but God's righteousness is revealed. We saw in verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. It is only by faith in Jesus Christ that one can have righteousness accounted to them. Not by works, not by effort, as we'll see in just a moment. And verse 18 then is a theme really to the ensuing section, what's going to follow. It's a portion of Scripture filled with a description of humanity that is neither glowing nor beautiful. It is really very ugly. It's a picture of mankind that is honest and dreadfully serious. In fact, as I've studied this over the last week and just considered how bad we are, you know what the result of that has been for me personally? And I just want to tell you this because I think it'll be an encouragement and help to you. As you keep looking at how bad you are apart from Jesus Christ, you recognize with greater thankfulness how much what Jesus Christ has done is the only way that you could be helped. You realize as well that I no longer have to serve such base and ugly things like sin. Because of Jesus Christ, I don't have to serve sin. And that'll be something we'll learn as we get into chapter 6 and chapter 7. We've up to this point been, and this is our 12th message in the book of Romans. It's hard to believe there are only 12 messages into this book. But we've already seen in chapter 1, verses 1 through 17, what I would call an introduction. The introduction that Paul is encouraging this church about is the gospel. We see in those theme verses of verses 16 and 17. God's righteousness is provided to those who place their faith in his son Jesus. And that's a clear statement at the outset of this that we'll keep remembering. Now we're entering into the second portion of this letter. And verses 18 all the way through chapter 8 are going to be reiterating mankind's need for the gospel. So we have an introduction to the gospel, and now we're going into the portion that is often kind of talked about as the doctrinal section of the book of Romans, the teaching on our need, our problem, our sin, and all that is entailed in Jesus Christ remedying that problem. And so this morning we're noticing that God's revealing sin, that we're all broken, incapable of righteousness. Whether one is a Jew or one is a Gentile, they are in need of help. All are in need of justification. Look over at chapter 5, verse 21, because this is a theme verse, I believe, for this entire section that we'll be looking at over the next weeks. Romans chapter 5, verse 21. In Romans 5, verse 21, we see what this is all about, this pointing out of mankind's sinfulness. It's not just to make mankind feel bad for the sake of feeling bad. A lot of times people preach about sin just to make people feel bad and feel guilt, but not to answer that with something. In fact, a lot of religious systems want to keep people in a state of constant guilt rather than leading them from guilt to the Savior who gives victory over that guilt. Romans 5, verse 21 says, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. The way for man to go from a certainty of death and separation from God in an eternity called hell and knowing eternal life is through the grace that is found and the righteousness that is in Jesus Christ. And so that is a theme of this next number of weeks' passages, that as man is seen as guilty, the goal is not just to leave mankind in a guilty place. The goal is for mankind to see he is guilty so that he will, in faith, look only to Jesus Christ. And you may be here today and not even yet think that you're guilty. I hope over the coming weeks you'll keep coming and you'll listen if you're watching online and recognize what God's word says, not what Pastor Finney says or what this church says. Well, they're just a bunch of judgmental people. That is not what our intent is. Our intent is to say, what does God say about us? Amen. And if God says I'm guilty, why? And if God says I'm guilty, to what purpose does he want me to see myself as guilty? If you'll see over the next weeks what the purpose of being found guilty is, you'll very quickly find that God wants to save you. And he wants to deliver you from that guilt and shame of sin and give you eternal life through Jesus Christ. And it is not until one sees that they are guilty that they can see that there is one who has already paid the price And so that is our intent over these next weeks. Now, this morning, verse number 18 of chapter 1 is really a transition. And you'll see that it begins with the word for. It begins with the word for. It's changing thoughts here from verse 17, which is another, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, in verse 16. For therein, verse 17, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. The just shall live by faith. There's no way for justification apart from faith in Christ Jesus. And the gospel is revealed to mankind that in Jesus Christ alone, there is righteousness provided. And today we start to see why that is, that humanity is guilty. And in verse 18, if we were to paraphrase verse 18, you could say, God is showing his anger against all who reject him and act in rebellion. That's what this statement in verse 18 is about. And let me explain some truths about this in verses 18 and 19 this morning. Number one, God's wrath is revealed. God's wrath is revealed. Do you notice that in verse 18? For the wrath of God is revealed. You say, that's pretty obvious, Pastor. The wrath of God is revealed. What does that mean? Revealed. Well, it's made known. It's the cover is taken off and you can see something. And by the way, has mankind always seen this clearly? You know, in the Garden of Eden, was it clear? Did God reveal his wrath against mankind in the Garden of Eden? When man disobeyed, was it very obvious to Adam and Eve that they had disobeyed? It absolutely was. What was the consequence? Death. Death. They would no longer have eternal life. They would one day die. And they would no longer be in that place of closeness to God that they were in the Garden of Eden. In the days of Noah, the world saw the wrath of God poured out. Can I tell you that our world has seen in Jesus Christ God's wrath as well? You say, how is the wrath of God shown in the gospel? Well, it was shown on the cross. God poured out his wrath on Jesus Christ instead of us. You know, you ought to recognize that truth. The cross was not Jesus doing something just because people didn't like him. The cross was all along God's plan for mankind's redemption, that Christ would die for our sin. And God's wrath is revealed, is seen in verse 18. To many people, the gospel is all about God's love. God loves you. And isn't that true, church? It absolutely is. But can I remind you that God's love, while true, the gospel is much more than just about God's love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We love John 3:16. But John goes on and says, if someone does not believe him, he's condemned because he has not believed. Condemnation is not something we like to hear. God's wrath against mankind is not something we like to hear often. And people often focus only on the love of God and do not speak of any of his other attributes. Do you know that love is an attribute of God, but so is his righteousness. So is, and that's what we saw in verse 17, so is his wrath. And apart from declaring that God is loving and that God is righteous and that God is also against sin, that he has wrath against mankind's sin, do you know that someone isn't hearing the gospel clearly? The clarity of the gospel is connected in not just revealing one attribute of God that everyone can feel comfortable with. No one will argue with love, will they? If you say, God loves you, well, who doesn't want love, right? But if you say, God hates sin, you're one of those people. You are judgmental. Friend, I got to tell you something. I am not the one who says this. God does of himself. And if I'm going to communicate the gospel clearly to people and help anyone, I cannot ignore what God has revealed about himself, and that matter is that he is a God who has revealed his wrath against ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. God reveals his righteousness, we saw, and now as well his wrath. Now, a couple of things about this. On his own, mankind has to face the wrath of God. I, apart from any help, will face the wrath of God. the wrath, this word means anger or the execution of punishment. Vengeance is another word that could be used to describe this. But I want you to note this morning, God's wrath is different than human wrath. Can I say that to you again? God's wrath is different than yours. And there's a couple of reasons for that. Don't picture God's characteristics, his attributes, with the limitations you have. We often do that, don't we, as humans? As mankind, we like to create God like we see ourselves. Can I tell you, that is not how you are to interpret God in the Bible. Because you have limitations. And if you create a God, and I say God in small letters and with quotation marks, if you create a God who is a lot like you, that is not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible is above you. He is beyond you. He is superior to your understanding. He is not to be fitted into your box. And here's some things about God's characteristics that are different than ours. Your wrath is fickle, isn't it? That means it's always changing. You can get mad about something and not have the full picture. By the way, does this ever happen in your home? You know, you're like, why did you do? And then, oh. And then you find out more of the story. And you realize, I got upset about something I didn't need to get upset about. You know, that's never true of God. God knows the whole story. He knows the whole picture. He is not limited like you are. God is not fickle in his wrath. God is not like us in that we are imperfect in our observations and we have selfish desires connected with our wrath at times. We get angry because someone does something that offends us, and our selfishness is connected to our wrath at times, or our pride. You have pride that gets in the way of your wrath. Can I tell you, God is different than you in all of these ways? God's wrath is different because his is perfectly balanced with all of his other attributes. God's wrath is different than yours in that he is perfectly balanced in every aspect of him in his nature. How can God be a God of love and a God of wrath at the same time, you might ask? Because he's God. You say, how does that work, Pastor? Friend, if I could completely understand that, I would be like God, wouldn't I? I mean this, you cannot comprehend how God can be merciful and judgment of sin at the same time. But he is. And he has revealed himself in these characteristics. His mercy, his kindness, his humility, his love, his righteousness, his justice, all of these attributes of God are not in conflict with each other like they are with you. You and I are not like God. And I can encourage you in this morning, if I can say this. We are not humanly able to balance these perfectly. And because of that, don't view this passage of Scripture as a human. View it as this is a revelation of God. View it as an understanding that this is how God is dealing with mankind, and I can understand something about him if I will agree that he is against my sin. You know that mankind needs to see that. The word revealed here is the word that means to uncover something. It's not hidden now. And people don't like to have their sin revealed, do they? People do not like to have someone say, you know that's wrong. Has our culture desired more and more for people to not condemn the things that they do? You know, that's not a new cultural phenomenon. That's not something from the 20th or the 21st century. That was going on in the days of Noah. That was going on just after creation and Adam and Eve and their expulsion from the Garden of Eden. What has mankind been constantly trying to do? His own thing. And not letting God be God. Not letting God's rule be the one that they would listen to. Notice a second truth. Not only is God's wrath revealed. In verse 18 it says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. It's revealed from heaven against what? Ungodliness and unrighteousness. What are those big words, Pastor? What is ungodliness? Well, it's a lack of reverence toward God. It's wickedness in general, but it's the idea of people without a fear or respect of God. No reverence, no restraint is the result of that kind of no reverence. By the way, have you noticed in our culture where there's not restraint or respect for parents, what happens in the home? Do things get better in the home? No. What happens to the next generation? Do things get better? The less there is respect in the home, what is the resulting effect? A declining society. Have you observed this? Is America getting better as respect goes lower? No, absolutely not. You know, there are all kinds of people that want to blame every problem on this person or this person or this person or this type of situation. Can I tell you that there is a lack of self-discipline in our country to respect others in authority? In the public schools, do people respect their teachers like they did 60 years ago? No. Do they respect their parents in general like they did 50 years ago? No, there's no encouragement towards that. Where did that concept of respecting their parents come from? Well, you and I would be foolish if we said this doesn't have anything to do with a God-ordained concept, and our country's influence of that has not been remembered well at all. But can I tell you, church, you live in a culture that is going to decline more and more and more in the next 50 years. As long as they reject God, there will be a continuing decline in our country. Why? Because mankind is involved in ungodliness, a lack of reverence toward God. And that was true not just of the pagan world. As we'll see soon, it was also true of God's people, the Jewish people, because in their look at themselves and their goodness, do you know what they were subtly doing? While externally looking like they were good, internally, did they revere God? Absolutely not. They revered more of their presentation to other people rather than what does God think of me? And by the way, there can be a moral society in an exterior morality and still be an internal problem. In fact, there have been cultures that have had great exterior looking things. Looks like they're doing well. They're doing nice things. Can parents have children who show respect to them and not be people who know God as their creator and not know that, yes, there's common grace found in that practice, but there's still a problem within that humanity and they are in need of a savior. And I got to tell you something, the Jewish people and the pagan world both are filled with ungodliness as they show rebellion against God. And Paul is pointing out to the church in Rome, everyone is affected by this. Not one single person can say, this isn't where I stand before God. I'm okay. Not one person can say, I'm good. I don't need Jesus. I don't need the gospel. Not one person in Franklin or in Johnson County can say with honesty before God, I don't need Jesus. They can try, they will say that, they will act like it. But can I tell you, that is not true. Everyone is found by God to be in unrighteousness and ungodliness. That second word, unrighteousness, what does that mean? It means injustice or a deed that is done against the law. That is something that is wrong in unrighteousness. Now, notice a couple things about this, that God sees our sin. The Bible says of this that it's revealed from heaven. In verse number 18, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. This is not a human idea, okay? This is not something that, oh, Pastor Finney just decided, here's a great way to manipulate people. Let's tell them they're all bad. This is not something some church has come up with, this idea that mankind is in sin and unrighteousness. This isn't something that is the authority of a church. This is the authority of Almighty God who has revealed it to mankind from heaven. And that's important because my authority to talk about this morning is not because I say so. This is something that God has desired for mankind to know. And you, by the way, when you speak of God and what His Word says, you ought always say, this is what God says from heaven. This isn't something my church came up with or I came up with. This is authoritative because this is from God. Does that matter, by the way? You know why it matters? Because doesn't everybody have something to say these days? And why should I listen to you? Have you ever had someone say that? Well, that's what you think. Can I tell you, friend, that the authority of Scripture matters when I talk to someone about these things? this is not something that is, well, it's just your idea, or that's just what you think, or that's just your way to get to God. Friend, this is the only way revealed by God for mankind to be made clean. The only way. There are not 10 ways to God. There are not 10 ways of salvation. There is only one. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is an exclusivity in Jesus Christ. And this is revealed from heaven. It's revealed it from heaven. It's not a human idea. And it's against all. Do you see that in verse 18? For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all. Is God okay with small sins?
No.
Well, it's not that bad. I mean, God's against the murderers. God's against the people that abuse other people. God's against them. But, you know, I'm not that bad. Is that what God's word says? God says he is against all ungodliness, all unrighteousness. No matter how good you see yourself as, God is against all disobedience and wickedness. That means no one can say, I'm okay, because I'm better than somebody else. You know, your life is not to be compared against the standard of someone in this church. It's not to be compared to the standard of this pastor. It's not to be compared to the standard of the worst person in town or the best person in town. It's to be compared with what does God say? What does God say about you and about me? That his wrath is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness, all ungodliness. And then there's another statement there of men. You know that God's wrath is revealed against humanity? The reason I titled this Humanity is Guilty is because many people do not want to think that humanity is broken, that humanity has a problem. Their idea is that mankind is getting better, that we're always improving, and that one day we'll not have the sin problems, we'll not have the hurts, and we can get rid of injustice, and we can get rid of crime. And if we can just reform things in our culture, we'll get rid of evil. You know that's not true. You can't take away this in your own ability. All of mankind is in trouble. You know, in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, it tells us that God's wrath has been revealed against someone else. And often we like to see that God's wrath is against Satan and his angels. The Bible says in 2 Peter 2, 4, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. We're okay, like, yeah, that's right. God judges Satan. God's wrath is against the rebellion of Satan and the rebellion of his angels. Yeah, but you know what also? God's wrath is against mankind's rebellion. You're not to see yourself as some great thing. Wasn't that Satan's own downfall? The exaltation of himself, the pride, the lifting of himself up in rebellion against God. Humanity is guilty of ungodliness and of unrighteousness. And as we'll see as we continue on, God is opposed to our sin. Remember me telling you about the bad news of my mom and the cancer that was found? If she had not been told that there was something wrong, that there was a tremendously bad situation going, she couldn't have accepted that there was no help in herself. You know, a lot of times in a medical situation, we have to put trust in who? Well, yes, in God, but what physical realm do we put confidence in? A doctor tells us something and we can trust the doctor or we cannot trust. And I know it is difficult to know when do you trust a doctor, when do you not trust a doctor. Many of you have felt that frustration perhaps. And I remember as we were told by the doctor, this does not look good, and we're going to do this to try to help in the moment, but then we're going to recommend you to go to a cancer specialist. Well, we all wondered, what good will that do? And many of you have been in that situation where you've wondered, what's the best step to take next? And I remember the cancer doctor saying, this is something we think this drug, a chemotherapy, will help with reducing the size of this. And in fact, it can destroy the cancer cells, we were told. And it did. It destroyed cancer all throughout her body. Now, I give credit to God for his miraculous working in this, but I recognize God used a doctor and his recommendation, and he used things as well. Here's the illustration I want you to see. Just as that doctor's recommendation was, this is the thing that can help, and we trusted the doctor. My mom trusted what he said, and it destroyed the cancer. It only helped when she agreed with the doctor. If she had said, no, I don't agree with you. I don't think that'll work. Or I don't think I have a problem. Even while the symptoms were grave. Can someone with grave symptoms deny they have need? Yeah, but you know what? The sin problem is the greatest problem that all mankind has. And yet people daily say, I'm okay. I don't have a problem. I don't need help. You know, that is a tremendous lie. And you need to come to the end of yourself. You need to come to the end of saying, I've got this. I can take care of it. My good will outweigh my bad. And at the end of my life, if I've done more good than bad, God will let me into heaven. God will say I'm okay. Friend, that won't work. Not according to this passage. Why did Jesus Christ have to die on the cross if you could be good enough? Have you ever thought about that? There are religious systems today, people worshiping today, hoping that if they're good enough, that God will say, friend, your goodness, we're going to see, our righteousness is never enough. God is against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. That is why Jesus Christ is so important to this whole story of the gospel, because as we'll see, he alone satisfies the demands of a holy God. You can't. And let me challenge you this morning. If you've been looking at your goodness and thinking, you know what, I'm okay. Can I challenge you this morning to consider, you need to come to the agreement with God, I need help. I am a sinner. I am a sinner that God's wrath is against. Friend, yes, God loves you, but God is against your sin. And until you come to the recognition that your sin separates you from God, you will not be saved. You will not have eternal life. This passage goes on to tell us something else that's very important, and we'll pick up on this next week. God's wrath is against sin, and God's wrath against sin is opposed by humanity. Do you notice that at the end of verse 18? It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. Do you know that there are people who are constantly working to suppress the truth of God? I don't want to hear that. That doesn't fit my model. That isn't what I think. That isn't what is true. I want to do this my way. There are all kinds of people today worshiping a God, worshiping a deity in their own way, and denying that they are a sinner, denying that they are in need of a Savior, denying it while all the time the truth of that is there. The reality of that is in them. God has revealed the reality. And by the way, it's revealed, as we'll see, in creation. It's revealed in your conscience. You cannot deny that God's existence is there and that God is opposed to your sin. Just this week, I was reading some deep reading. If you ever want to read something just deep, I was reading about how guilt and shame are viewed by the psychologist of our world. Oh boy, talk about an interesting study and how they view guilt and shame. And one of the things that they will admit, we cannot figure out where this evolved from. Huh. I wonder why. Because it didn't evolve. It didn't evolve at all. You know that God has put into us an understanding that we are broken, that we are sinners, that we need help. And yet all the time, mankind is suppressing that, trying to ignore that, trying to deny that. Can I tell you, friend, that Jesus Christ is the only answer to that. Jesus Christ alone, who hold the truth and unrighteousness, it says. And as we'll see, mankind can observe it, but they can deny his voice as well. And you live around people who are constantly in denial of their condition. Humanity is guilty because humanity has ignored its condition. And the suppression of truth about itself and God results in God's wrath being demonstrated against mankind. God is against unrighteousness and ungodliness. And you say, well, that sounds like a horrible diagnosis. It is, but it's an honest diagnosis. And it's why verse 16 is able to remedy that problem. It is a cure that is far greater than any cancer cure could ever be. It is capable of destroying sin and death. Jesus Christ alone and faith in Him alone can remedy mankind's problem. Isn't that an encouraging thing? That there are people all around you who are dying in sin, many of whom are unaware of it. You know, if you had, and I know this has been probably said before, you've heard it, but if you knew someone had cancer and it was going to kill them, would you feel obligated at all to tell them? No, they'll be happier if they don't know. Sometimes that's how people feel about telling someone that they are in need of a Savior because they are in a terrible condition of sin. Well, they'll think I'm judgmental. We didn't think that of the doctor. We knew we were in trouble when my mom was told what she had. Yet, somehow we might think that others will be mad at us if we tell them God's wrath is against mankind. Now, can I tell someone that in a hateful attitude? Sure, people do that. Is that of any help? No. And that's not how we share Christ and the gospel here at New Life Baptist Church. We can speak of God's wrath and His anger against sin without being malicious ourselves. You know that, don't you? See the smile on my face? But it is not honest to ignore it. It is not of help to anyone to say, you're a good person. Hey, you just keep on being a good person and you just keep doing the best you can. That is as lying and deceitful as anything could possibly be. I would not be your friend. I would not be a help to you one bit. I would be a quack doctor if I told you, you just keep doing what you're doing and don't worry about anything. Everything's going to be fine. That will send someone to a quicker death. And in this case, a spiritual death that is eternal. You know what mankind needs to hear? We're broken. We're all in this condition. And there is a Savior who has died to take care of that problem. And putting your faith in Him alone is the answer to your sin problem. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, Romans says later. If a man believes in his heart that Christ has died and buried and rose again, you know what there is in that? There is hope. Christ died, He was buried, and He rose again, victorious over sin, death, and the grave. You know what I have? A confidence in that Jesus. And you can too. And I hope this morning that this simple reminder, as we continue to look, and the next verses are very bleak. Mankind's in a mess. Maybe you'll read over these verses in the next few days and say, wow, that's where we are right now. That's why we need Jesus. That's why our world needs Jesus. But there needs to be a starting point, which is a recognition we're broken. We're guilty. Would you bow with me for prayer this morning? Maybe you've been listening this morning, and this is new. Maybe you're online watching this morning, and this is a new concept that Jesus Christ died for sin, and that I'm a guilty sinner, that I'm in need of a Savior. Can I ask you this morning, Christian, have you shared this with someone else? You know, either today you can say, I have put my faith in Jesus Christ, and I know with certainty that my sin problem is paid for, or you're here this morning and you cannot say with certainty, I know my sin problem is paid for. The Bible says later in Romans, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not one person here that's excluded from this problem. And God's wrath is against sin. Can I ask you this morning, have you ever recognized you're a sinner and that God's wrath is against you? Maybe you have never recognized that before, and it's concerning you right now. It's concerning you because you've thought up to this point, I just thought if I was good, or if I was better than, you know, I did more good than I did bad, that I would be okay with God. But this tells me that God's wrath is against all unrighteousness and ungodliness, and I have some. Maybe more this morning than I've seen for a while. And you'd say, Pastor Finney, I'm concerned this morning about my sin because I didn't realize I face God's wrath. I face God's judgment, and I'm concerned about that this morning. And you'd say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm concerned about that. I've never dealt with this before. I'm concerned about my sin and seeing myself before God. If that's you this morning, would you just raise your hand? I'm concerned about that. I don't know if I've dealt with this yet. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, yeah, I've known this, but I've never yet admitted that I need Christ to save me from this problem. And you'd say, Pastor Finney, this morning I realize I'm a sinner, and I realize that Christ died on the cross to pay for sin, and that he's the only solution for sin. He's the perfect solution for sin. And this morning, I want to put my trust in Jesus Christ, who alone can pay for my sin. I've never done that. But this morning, I see that's the need. I need to put my faith in Jesus Christ, and I want to do that this morning. And you'd say, Pastor, would you pray for me? That's what my need is this morning. I need to put my faith in Jesus Christ to save me. And you'd say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I need to make that decision today. If that's you, just raise your hand up. I won't embarrass you, but just raise it up and put it back down. I need to put my faith in Jesus Christ today to save me from my sin. I've never done that, but I'm concerned about that today. All right, friend, if you're watching online and that's you, and you have recognized that, can I just encourage you right now to admit that to God? God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that I cannot save myself. There's nothing good in me at all. And right now, as best I know how, I'm going to put my trust in Jesus Christ to save me. Friend, if you pray out to God in that honest, humble prayer, admitting your need and putting your faith in Jesus Christ, God promises to give eternal life to anyone who calls on him for salvation. And if you need Christ today and you've not raised your hand here or you're watching online, I'd encourage you, I'd implore you, if God's pointing out that's your need right now, you listen to that and you obey it and you right now put your faith in Jesus Christ. And then let someone know that. If you want to message us, if you're online, you can do that. If you want to, this morning in just a moment, we'll have an invitation. You come and say, Pastor Finney, I just today have put my faith in Christ. I'm trusting him to save me. And I've never done that before. We would rejoice with you in that decision. In fact, we want to help you and encourage you in following that and knowing what that means to walk with Christ now. And I hope that you'll come in just a moment. Christian, you may be here this morning and you've known this reality, but it's reminded you this morning, mankind is in desperate condition. The world is in desperate need of hearing the gospel. And maybe this morning you were reminded that rather than being critical of the world around you that's in sin, there's a need for you to lovingly tell them that God's wrath is coming towards them. Not with anger, not with malice, but with a love, because you've seen it personally, and they need it too. And maybe this morning you'd want to come in just a moment and pray and say, God, help me to say what you want me to say about this truth and not avoid it. Help me to say it with love, but with honesty. Help me not wash it down with sugar and just make it, well, God's not that angry with sin. Help me to see sin as it is. And maybe, Christian, even this morning, to admit with God, I have not seen sin like I should for a while. And while I know it was paid for on the cross, I've not looked at that with a great amount of disdain still and seen that my sin was paid for on the cross at great price. I need to have a greater honesty about what your opinion is about sin. Would you stand with me this morning? And as I pray, if you need to come this morning, let the Lord work in your heart this morning. Father, I pray that you'd be glorified in this time of invitation. If there's one here or watching online that doesn't yet know Christ as their Savior, that today they would put their faith in Christ and be saved would be our desire. And Lord, help us to encourage them in that decision. Lord, if there's other decisions,